You're about to hear the Sunday sermon from the Grapevine Church of Christ in Grapevine, Texas, a family who's devoted to giving our lives to and living our lives for Jesus Christ. If you have any questions about today's lesson, visit us on our website, www.grapevinechurch.com. Thanks for listening.
All right, please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1. That's where we will be, John 1, 1 through 14. Now today I'm not talking about shepherds, I'm not talking about angels. Today I'm talking about how hope entered the world. So every story has a memorable beginning. Well, some stories don't have a very memorable beginning. They probably don't remember them. But the good ones, they have memorable beginnings. Once upon a time, okay, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. The memorable beginnings. Now our story has a very memorable beginning. In Genesis 1, it started with those eternal words, "In the beginning, God." Today, I wanted to take a moment to remind us that this story we are in had a beautiful beginning, a hopeful beginning, and this beauty and hope, it still rests with us today. And our story begins with God uttering a word. So in John, he talks about this. Let's start reading. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being." Now these days, we have an overabundance of words, don't we? When important people talk, whether they be politicians or businessmen or both, maybe, what I find is that a lot of times I'm skeptical. The words hit me and my immediate reaction is skepticism. Sometimes it's even cynicism. But what I find is that to John's audience, to these first century Christians, the difference between them and us is that for us, we have an overabundance of words, but to them, words still mattered. They were highly valuable. Words mattered to John's audience. They mattered a great deal. And believe it or not, they still matter. Words are still highly important. They describe who we are. They describe what kind of a person we are. And when we throw them out carelessly, that says something. When we use our words to inflict pain on people or inflict justice, when we think we need to inflict justice, that says something about us. It communicates, our words communicate. In many ways, our words determine the world we live in. Now, a good friend of mine once said, "Words create worlds." It took me a while to process through that, but I believe that. I mean, words create worlds. With God, this is especially true. You know, words that are recorded describe for us a God that is filled with love. He's fiercely loyal, he's perfectly righteous and utterly just. And his creation, it began with a word, a word. And God said, the word that sprang from his inner self, it's the power that kickstarted the whole universe. Imagine if your words had such power. Kick-started the world, the universe, the galaxies, the billions of stars and galaxies. He didn't think creation into existence. He spoke it into existence. He didn't use a magic wand. He used a word. His word, imagine this, that's what I was thinking. His word was the first sound this universe experienced. And it was powerful. Powerful enough to scatter stars. To set worlds in motion. His word has power to create worlds. Remember that. Let's keep going. "What has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not overcome it." Now just to remind you, God's word, the word that began the world right here, is literally life for the universe. His word was the life of the universe. Now remember this, the word of God was and continues to be life. But John also reminds us of another image here from the beginning of the world. It was the very first creation that God uttered, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Now, last week we had our candlelight service last Sunday night. I love these because they are a reminder of just how bright one small candle can be. But then what I find interesting is we start sharing that light. And two things that are interesting. First of all, it's amazing how quickly that light starts to be shared. But it's also amazing how bright it is. How bright multiple lights can be together when they grow, especially when you share them with others. God's word is life, and God's word is light. I love that. Let's continue. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. Now, John the Baptist, get the image in your head. I'm sure we've all seen and seen those images. He serves as an inspiration to all of us who think our words don't matter. To those of us who are skeptical as to whether or not God can use our voice. Now God, you know, used John, but John was not all kept up and nice. I mean, this was a rough, abrasive person. He was a yeller. You know, he was a man who was just out of the ordinary. God used his words. His words were powerful. God can and will use you too when you make the decision to share his word, his light with other people. You know, a lot of times we look and we think to ourselves, I don't have that story. I don't have a drug story. I don't have a rags to riches story. I don't have this story that people are going to find interesting. I just know scripture. And I'm like, you have a story to tell. You have personal experiences with the God of the universe. Tell it. Share that story. This is what people want to hear. Personal experiences are to be shared. Why? Because people are in darkness all around us. They're dying to hear the word of God. They're looking for someone with light to share. And when we share that light, when we testify about the God who has saved us, in any way, shape, or form, we are sharing the light of God with others. Life. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. He named him Jesus. We need to remember that God's entrance into this world was dangerous. The hope he came to bring would not be readily accepted. It's going to be a process. I think God knew that he was ready for the long game, the marathon, that hope and salvation and reconciliation would be a process, because people had been without this light for so long, they had forgotten what it was like to see. They lost the idea of what a better world was, what a better relationship with God was, what a better life was. They forgot what it meant to really pray and receive. They forgot what it meant to love, to share the hope that they had. Conflict and sin had taken over the world. And the only way people could be rescued, could be saved, was if God were to reconcile things. So he decided to do just that. He was the living incarnation of the hope that God had come to offer his people. We had no chance, so God gave us a chance. He gave us more than a chance. He gave us hope. And it's still the case. People still live in darkness. We walk among them each and every day. People still don't recognize them. They don't recognize who God is, who Jesus is. They meet God's word with skepticism. I mean, there might be some people in this room who are walking in darkness. But just as God sent his hope through Jesus so long ago, there's still hope to be offered and found right here and right now. I love this. Verse 12. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. I love this. And this is timeless right here. To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to be called children of God. This is not anything we can do on our own. It's not just because of us. This is not something we do when we get our act together. This is something that is available for all of us through Jesus Christ, the Word and the Light. And it all started with the Word. All of it. What I love is that God wasn't satisfied with just speaking alone. He wanted more for us. And so this is what happened. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. So imagine this. Jesus Christ is the manifestation. It's what would happen if God's love became human. He's the physical manifestation of God's love. See, God, his love has always been there since the very beginning. He didn't send his love just because the world suddenly went south. He didn't think, I lost control. I need to make things right. His love has always been there. He didn't just think of this at the last minute. This is something that has always been. His love couldn't help but come to us. It burst forth from him and it came to us. It came in the form of hope. You know, when a child is born, it is nothing but hope. What is this child going to be? What's he going to do? What's this child going to offer the world? What kind of a parent am I going to be? Just so much hope. In Jesus, this child, he was the embodiment of hope, not just for parents, but for the world. Eternal life. Peace on earth. Goodwill to men on whom God's favor rests. Today I want to ask you to consider something. So the Word of God is still as powerful today as it ever has been. We need to remember that. Scripture, the Word of God, what God has said is still as powerful today as it ever has been. The light is still as bright as it ever has been. We've seen chaos and calamity over the past few weeks, haven't we? Both probably personally and in our world. But I wanted to tell you, no matter how chaotic our world gets, it is still God's world. He's still reconciling things. When his love manifested itself through a child, through this small Messiah, hope became a reality for everyone. And I want you to think about this today. How does God's love manifest itself through you? How does God show his love through you? Because people need hope both inside and outside this room. We need to know that the love we have and the stories we have to share are powerful. Does the hope show through our words? Does it show through the light we have in us? Because if we're not pointing to a love that's greater than our own, then we're pointing to ourselves. What kind of image is that? So the question I have for you is, what do you need to do today to live a life that points others to the Word and the light of Jesus Christ? What things in your life do you need to change today? Maybe you need to receive and believe. Maybe you need to come to the moment when you decide that you are all in. And if that's the case, come. We have water. Why not start your life with Jesus Christ on Christmas Day? How awesome would that be? Maybe you need to confess sin. Maybe sin's got a hold on you. You know what? Speak the words out. Let God take them. God's word is powerful. Speak it. Release it. Man, let God change you. Maybe you need to make a decision to testify to what God has done in you. Maybe you've lived a life in secret, a Christianity that has been only to yourself. What if you allowed others to see that? It may make some decisions more difficult. But what if this is what you need to do? Come, let me help. I'm going to tell you, this Christmas day, let God do something in you. Let Him change your world. Let the hope that He has given us rest in you. Receive it, believe it, and share it. Don't leave without making some sort of decision.
You've been listening to Grapevine Church of Christ. Subscribe to the Sermon Podcast and to our other Grapevine Church podcast to hear special behind-the-scenes content. For more information, visit our website, www.grapevinechurch.com.